A reading from the book of Proverbs. Refuse no one the good on which he has a claim, when it is in your power to do it for him. Say not to your neighbor, go and come again, tomorrow I will give, when you can give it at once. Plot no evil against your neighbor, against one who lives at peace with you. Quarrel not with a man without cause, with one who has done you no harm. Envy not the lawless man, and choose none of his ways. To the Lord the perverse one is an abomination, but with the upright is his friendship. The curse of the Lord is on the house of the wicked, but the dwelling of the just he blesses. When dealing with the arrogant, he is stern, but to the humble he shows kindness. The word of the Lord. The just one shall live on your holy mountain, O Lord. He who walks blamelessly and does justice, who thinks the truth in his heart and slanders not with his tongue. Who harms not his fellow man, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, by whom the reprobate is despised, while he honors those who fear the Lord. Who lends not his money at usury, and accepts no bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be disturbed.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritum tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to the crowd, "No one who lights a lamp conceals it with a vessel or sets it under a bed. Rather, he places it on a lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not become visible, and nothing secret that will not be made known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. To anyone who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he seems to have will be taken away."
Verbum Domini.
Vos tibi Christe.
Today's society does not pray. That is why it's falling apart. Words from today's saint, Saint Padre Pio of Pietrelcina. Today's society does not pray. That is why it's falling apart. even right before our eyes. The saints are the greatest lamps throughout centuries that keep the path well lit toward the harbor of eternal life. And no doubt, the most well-known saints of our times is Saint Padre Pio. Saints are lamp posts, and the lamp posts of the saints are among us. Chose to bring relic of Saint Padre Pio. It's a piece of cloth from his body that would have touched his sacred stigmata. And if you notice, if the camera gets it a little bit closer, it has even a spot of blood on it. So it's first-class relic. Whenever the relics of the saints are present in our midst, the saints who are in heaven are present among us, and they reflect the light of God. The saints are the reflection of God's glory. And each saint that the Lord raises up in our times, they are raised up for a particular grace to be given for their times. Pope St. Paul VI said, "For the church, the means of evangelization is the witness of an authentically Christian life, given over to God in a communion that nothing should destroy, and at the same time given to one's neighbor with limitless zeal. Modern man listens more willingly to witnesses than it does teachers. And if it does listen to teachers, it's because they are witnesses." It's a very good point to get across, the importance of being a witness. Very often, people are converted more by witnesses, seeing the light of Christ live, seeing the gospel lived in people, more than they are converted by intellectual propositions. Surely people have converted throughout the centuries through being convinced in their mind of truth, the teaching of the gospel, the teaching of the church. But more often, people are converted by witnesses. In other words, I want to see how grace, I want to see how the gospel has changed you. And when we see that, when we see how the gospel has changed an individual in their life, it wakes us up. When we see the gospel lived. During the next 2 weeks, two saints are held up as light posts that bore the sacred stigmata on their body. That is, they literally bore the brand marks of Jesus on their body, on their frame. St. Padre Pio and St. Francis of Assisi, next week, October 4th. St. Francis, it is said that he asked for two things in his life. That insofar as God would permit and allow, that he would experience in his body, in his frame, close to the suffering that our Lord did when he suffered on the cross. And the second ask that St. Francis proposed to the Lord, that he would have that same love in his heart that the God-man had on the cross when he suffered for the salvation of the world. Why? Why two? Why those two together? Because he knew that without the second, he could never endure the first. Without love, you cannot possibly endure that type of suffering and that type of pain. And in our days, in our times, the Lord has raised up St. Padre Pio as a light,
as a lamppost, perhaps to show us that love and suffering go together. And not just individually, but that love, that suffering that Padre Pio endured, motivated him to spend long hours with people who are suffering. Not just closed away by himself, but he spent hours upon hours in the confessional, helping people who struggle. And also even opening a hospital for people who had the rarest type of diseases in San Giovanni Rotondo, to minister to those who suffer. So there's something to be said for suffering and love being together, of the same vein. Again, today's society is a society that doesn't pray. In other words, maybe perhaps a society that doesn't know how to suffer well, because it's forgotten God. For there is nothing hidden that will not become visible, and nothing secret that will not be made known and come to light. Probably one of the most striking statements from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And this is a great mystery. We do not have the ability to know the secret thoughts and actions of others. That's for God alone, and perhaps some of his saints. It's a charism, perhaps, in some of his saints that St. Padre Pio actually knew in certain circumstances, especially in the sacrament of penance, what somebody's sins were. And being able to help them through the process of making a good confession. It's very rare, by the way. St. Padre Pio being able to pierce into the depths of someone's conscience and to let them know that they were perhaps not repentant. Some people have heard stories of how Padre Pio would be quite gruff with people in the confessional, and a little bit perhaps angry. But learning why he was in that way, in that manner, is important. Because in the context of confession, when somebody would come to him and would be concealing, that is, not revealing a fault, not revealing a sin, that is a grave offense against Almighty God. And it is said that he smelt the eternal consequences of their soul. In other words, he smelt hell, eternal separation from God. No wonder he was a little bit upset. No wonder he was like, get away from me. Go, if you're not ready to repent, come back when you are. I can't stand the smell of you, in other words. It wasn't as if he was a mean person. He cared so desperately for that soul that was in front of him, and many people would return. Many people came to San Giovanni Rotondo not so much to repent. They just were drawn there by this sensationalism of seeing a man with the wounds of Jesus. They just wanted to get close to him to see the wounds. They weren't so much there to make a confession. Maybe they were there to make a phony confession. But Padre Pio had that insight in the confessional to help people in a sense get the poison out of your soul. The poison needs to come up in order for our souls to thrive. just like whenever there's poison in our body, when there's sickness in our body, that poison needs to come up. And in our souls, too, that poison needs to come up, and this is through the sacrament of penance and reconciliation. That's why we name our sins. That's why in the context of confession, which is the most private place on the planet, by the way. There's no other place that's more private than the sacrament of penance. That when we're able and given that freedom and that space to say the most shameful and darkest things that we've ever done, and to bring that into the light, and to allow the healing power of Jesus to touch those areas and to heal. We need to live our lives in the light and not be ashamed and hide in darkness. Natural light illumines and allows us to see what was in the dark. When the sun rises, darkness disperses. The light of Christ's sanctifying grace in our soul disperses darkness in our lives, darkness that even the sun cannot reach. The gospel is telling us today that we are called to be light bearers, just like the saints are. Just like the saints are being held up today on a light post and not hidden, each one of us in our own unique way is called to be a particular light post in your life and in the world, in your families, in your communities. Everything secret will come to light. In other words, the Lord knows all and sees all. The apostle St. John, who stayed at the cross of the Lord Jesus during his darkest hour, wrote this in his letter. Now this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you: God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we continue to walk in darkness, we lie and do not act in truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his son Jesus cleanses us from all sin. In the darkest hour of his crucifixion, those two beams of the cross became the light post of the world. He is the light of the world, Jesus. The darkest hour of mankind, the darkest hour that ever existed, was the hour of the cross. And the light of the world is the light post that shines even until now. You might say that the light of the cross still reaches us 2,000 years later. That's what the Holy Mass is, the representation of the sacrifice of Calvary in an unbloody manner, that we are present at Calvary at every Holy Mass. St. Padre Pio lived this in his life every single day. At the canonization of St. Padre Pio in 2002, Pope St. John Paul II said, quote, "In God's plan, the cross constitutes the true instrument of salvation for the whole of humanity and the way clearly offered by the Lord to those who wish to follow him." End quote. A true instrument of salvation. An instrument of torture becomes the instrument of salvation, becomes the medicine for our souls. Psalm 36 says, "With you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light." In the light of Christ we see light, even more than sun illumines the earth. The Son of God illumines minds and hearts when we allow him to enter into those areas, to expose yourself as you were to Christ's light. And that is what true prayer is, conscious contact with God, conscious contact with the one who loves us more than we love ourselves. We can choose to extinguish the light, block the light. The Lord gives us the freedom to choose and accept. St. Padre Pio said, "It would be easier for the world to exist without the sun than without the holy sacrifice of the Mass." The Mass being the representation of Calvary. Again, that darkest hour is made present to us in the Mass, which is the most luminous hour, if you will, more luminous than these bright TV lights. I think these are the brightest lights I've ever seen. But the light of God is that light that illumines every area. And we can choose to let that light in. For Padre Pio, the Holy Mass was his point of contact with the Hill of Calvary. The famous convert and journalist Graham Greene said he remembers two Masses in his life, the way that Padre Pio offered the Mass and before him, Pius XII. The way in which they offered the Mass, the care and the devotion and the reverence that they offered the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Our Lord says, "Take care then how you hear," in the gospel. Listening and taking in the word of God is crucial to the divine life dwelling within our souls. Right before this parable is the parable of the sower and the seed, and the different seed ground, the different ground that the seed can lay upon and harvest and thrive, the rocky ground, the ground with thorns and thistles, or the ground which is fertile that allows for the word of God to sink in and to establish a foundation. And that's the fertile ground. That ground is the ground that the Lord desires for his word to receive, to dwell and bear life. A valid question might be, what do we listen to the most? What we listen to shapes us. What we take in our senses with our ears. St. Paul says faith comes through hearing, through taking in things through our ears. What things do we listen to throughout the day the most that we allow to shape us and our souls? If we're listening to the news all day long, it's going to have an effect on us. Maybe we'll be a little bit anxious. Not that listening to the news is a bad thing. It's good to know what's going on in the world, but we can allow it to control our narrative, to control even our minds and our souls. Binging on Netflix and all these other things too. We can allow those things to control us. But sometimes simply being in silence before the Lord in your own home or in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament, that's even more noisy than listening to something on TV, because we have to face ourselves. We have to face what's deep down inside, and we'd rather not face that. We'd rather distract ourselves from reality. So we ask St. Padre Pio this day, ask St. Padre Pio to intercede for you, for those of you who are watching via television, radio, internet. Ask St. Padre Pio to help you to learn how to pray, how to be present at Mass as Calvary, how to go to confession, how to confess your sins in freedom to experience God's light. Through the intercession of St. Padre Pio, may the blessing of Almighty God come upon each one of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Padre Pio, pray for us.